It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Jeff Flake becomes the second GOP senator to announce he won't run for re-election, and in the process delivers a blistering takedown of President Trump. Is it the beginning of a major revolt within the president's own party?
We are witnessing an astounding public indictment of the integrity of a sitting president.
I call it historic. This is the type of speech that I think tomorrow should be shown, should be listened to by every high school, civics class, politics class, history class.
Sandy Rios with you in the morning. And, you know, if you were listening to CNN or MSNBC or any of the other networks, other networks besides Fox News, you would have heard that. You would have heard praise of Senator Jeff Flake for saying that the president is, what, reckless, outrageous, undignified, has become excused and countenanced. And, of course, the book that Senator Flake wrote, roundly criticizing the president, that's what you would be hearing. Because Jeff Flake now is a hero to the left, as is Bob Corker. May I just hasten to say that Jeff Flake in Arizona has an approval rating of 17%. He is behind his primary opponent, which in the primary is not till next spring or summer. He is behind her by, I think, 26 points. That's Dr. Kelly Ward. So, and the people of Arizona, when asked, why is his approval rating down? Why don't you like your senator? It's because they say, and this can be verified, that Senator Jeff Flake ran as a conservative. He claimed a lot of things. He claimed he was going to do away with Obamacare. He claimed he was going to enforce borders and enforce immigration laws. And he has done quite the opposite, as you will recall that when the President Trump was pushing for repealing Obamacare, he was one of the big opponents. And so the people of Arizona have had it. They probably had it with their other senator, too, but he's not up for re-election. So while he's a hero to the left, he's not a hero to people who actually believe in what President Trump campaigned on. And so that's what's happening. But if you had tuned to other networks, you might have heard what I consider the biggest story, perhaps, of the 20 years, of two decades. Honestly, I believe this is a huge story. I don't think that CNN and MSNBC and others can ignore it. They are saying some things about it, but you're not going to hear the details of it. And this is at least part of the story. Catherine Herridge from Fox will start.
Late today, a complaint was filed with the Federal Election Commission alleging the Clinton campaign and DNC violated federal financial disclosure laws by routing payments through a law firm and not accurately or fully disclosing the money was for the Trump dossier.
It's really frustrating.
The House Speaker put the Bureau on notice.
And they've been stonewalling. The FBI and the Justice Department needs to give Congress the documents it's been requesting, and they need to do so immediately.
Litigation over a congressional subpoena forced the disclosure that opposition research firm Fusion GPS approached Mark Elias, general counsel for the Clinton campaign, in March 2016. And a month later, a deal was struck with the Clinton campaign and the DNC to fund the project. The research led to the unverified, salacious Trump dossier that was later shared with the FBI. On Fox, the House Government Oversight Committee chairman questioned whether former FBI Director James Comey, who led the Bureau at the time, knew about the DNC Clinton funding and still used the unverified research to launch the 2016 Russia probe and obtain surveillance warrants on the Trump team.
I want to know whether the nation's premier law enforcement agency relied on a document that looks like the National Enquirer prepared it.
Well, that, of course, was Trey Gowdy. That's just the first part of Catherine's report, but I've been talking about this several days. I know you know most of the details. I'm not going to track all of them again in this moment. But here's the thing. It is verified that the Clinton campaign, together with the DNC, paid for this dossier. It was begun by a Republican opponent of President Trump, this whole endeavor to get dirt. Now, opposition research or dirt on your opponent is normal. There's nothing – they do that. People do that. And, of course, the problem here is that they outsourced it to international sources, and the sources came back with things that were completely false about President Trump and about his associates. And the problem is that when this dossier was released, remember John McCain went to great lengths, flew overseas to meet someone privately to pick up this dossier, which I can't even tell you. I did at one point, I believe, when all these months I've been talking about it, give you a hint about some of the really things that are unrepeatable at this mic that they said Trump was involved in. No proof of it whatsoever. Carter Page came public and said, this is completely false. I wasn't even there when they said I was there. And so the lawsuits have ensued. BuzzFeed, which was the first outlet to publish it, everyone's wondering, well, how did they get a hold of it? And so some are saying there's a very small list of people who could have given this to BuzzFeed. And one of them is John McCain. John McCain was asked, did you give this dossier to BuzzFeed? And he said, why are you asking me that now? That was his response. Why are you asking me that now? Not no or yes. By the way, he has I don't know if it's the chief of staff, but one of his right-hand men is also on that short list. And so the list is getting shorter. So did John McCain hand this lying piece of work, which had slander? You know, it's one thing to get opposition research on your opponents. People, that is fair game. If your opponent has done something illegal, unethical, immoral, and you find out about it, it's fair game to use that in a campaign against them. But creating, falsifying information, and then passing it on to media. And then, of course, the most damning part of this is that the FBI under James Comey took this dossier and actually tried to pay Christopher Steele, the British agent, to continue the work on it. I think that was right before the election. They wanted him to continue working on it, and they were willing to pay him money for that. Even knowing, how did the FBI not know that this was false? How could they possibly? And by the way, what's the FBI doing outsourcing their investigative work to international people when they have thousands of agents? This is what the FBI is known. People from other countries fly in the Federal Bureau of Investigation to help them investigate. So now the FBI under Comey is hiring this British spy who obviously either is a this was Russian propaganda that they passed on. And our FBI cooperated with that. And then further, the most damning thing to me is that it looks as though they used that dossier to go into the FISA court and get permission to surveil, we'll use President Trump's words, wiretap, that's the old method, to track any Trump associates. And they convinced the FISA court that they had evidence. My understanding is that they actually sent this same dossier to British intelligence. British intelligence wrote up their own report on it, and all right, now this is just someone's speculation. It's probably more than speculation, but I don't know that it's hard fact. But people think that when the FBI went into the FISA court, they used the British write-up to bolster their claim that Donald Trump and his associates needed to be surveilled. But the problem is the British just simply used the same fake, phony dossier that the FBI used. And if BuzzFeed – and look, this – piece of work had been available to most of the press. It just hadn't been published until BuzzFeed did. And everyone said, this is just baloney, to use a coined phrase of Mrs. Clinton's. And they didn't publish it. But the FBI somehow, they were all about it. In fact, willing to pay for it. So this, ladies and gentlemen, is a very dangerous situation. This is a situation where the most highly esteemed law enforcement group in the country is unleashed. The FBI is refusing to give the Congress, when they've been subpoenaed for several months now, information about who paid for the dossier and what their connection was with it. They're refusing to do that. So I think it's interesting, too, that Speaker Paul Ryan has the leadership in the House has been very quiet about this. Devin Nunes finally was talking last night. You know, he's been targeted with ethical charges, unwarranted. It's has to do with him speaking out about the unmasking, 6 months ago. And so they brought him under investigation because he allegedly leaked, you know, information he shouldn't have leaked, which was, that whole thing is bogus. So he's been silenced, muffled. He's finally speaking out, as is Ron DeSantis. So you've got these real champion members of the House who've been trying to get hearings, but they've been blocked by, let's see, leadership in the House. And so finally, I noticed Paul Ryan's finally getting in on it. He said something. You heard it in that clip. Finally, he's saying something about it. And now they're going to have to allow hearings. Also, I have to tell you that the informant, they have an informant who has massive amounts of information. He was hired by the Justice Department to go undercover and get information about this deal to sell. This is, of course, a companion to the dossier. That we, under the State Department's stewardship under Mrs. Clinton and under Barack Obama, sold 20% of our uranium to the Russians, our greatest foes in the nuclear power struggle. 20% of our uranium signed off on by Mrs. Clinton, Eric Holder, Tim Geithner. All the while, the FBI, it began under Mueller, this investigation of the Russians bribing to get our uranium. It was under investigation with Mueller. It was under investigation while Comey was the head of the FBI. It was Rosenstein, whose name is all over the documents. They all knew about this investigation, as did Andrew McCabe, who has been leading the FBI, whose name has been in the center of so much of the storm. No time for me to explain. I could spend the whole hour talking about the details of this. This is a very dangerous situation in which the key players, with the exception of Senator Jeff Sessions, who was advised when he took over at the Justice Department to recuse himself from this Russian matter. How convenient, since Rosenstein and Andrew McCabe and James Comey and the lead prosecutor, Mueller, we're all, their hands are, they've got dirty hands. It's the uranium scandal. They all knew that the Russians were colluding. And so this informant was hired by the Justice Department 10 years ago. He was embedded with the Russians. He has tapes. He has evidence. He has a bucket load of information about the direct collusion with the Russians and the Clintons to take the uranium. And also, so I just want to tell you a personal thing, because it's my understanding that this informant has had to hide now for years. He fears for his life. Can you imagine the Russians? We know what they do to people, whether it's poison or accidental, you know, or alleged suicides, or you fill in the blanks. And then, of course, there are so many people who have lost their lives in an untimely fashion who happen to know something about the Clintons. It's just amazing. And so this man is fearing, is rightfully fearing for his life. And now, last night, the Justice Department has given him permission, because the FBI had made him sign some sort of a piece of paper that said he wouldn't speak to anyone. The Justice Department has now overridden that. He's going to testify before these congressional committees. But could I just say that that's still scary? What is the House going to do to protect him? I have to tell you, this man is a patriot, and he's a patriot who's in great danger. The things that are happening in the country are very, very serious, and there are such good people here in D.C. who are giving it their all. And I want you to know about that, because I want you to support the good ones, work for them, and pray for them, and fight the bad ones. That's kind of the bottom line. We want justice. We want what's right. And I mean the right kind of justice. I'm not talking about some kind of social justice, how that ever got co-opted. I will never know. But justice is what's right, and injustice is what's wrong. It has nothing to do with color or race. And with that little sort of rant, I'm at the offices of the Family Research Council, so happy to be. And when we return, another battle is raging. You need to know about it, because it will affect you. Sandy Rios in the morning on FR Talk.
Hi, this is Ron Ball, and this is your Choose Greatness Minute.
When I was a student at Asbury Theological Seminary, one of my professors was famous for his walk with God. I asked him to teach me how to learn what he had learned from God so I could duplicate that in my own life. He said, yes, you can learn, and I will teach you, but you have to meet me at 5:30 every Thursday morning. I was working two jobs, carrying a full academic load, newly married, and speaking in churches on the weekend. But I immediately agreed and met with him every Thursday morning at 5:30 for 2 years. That was a transformative moment in my life. God began to explode things I had never before experienced. One of the keys to godly growth is discipline. I had to get up when I wanted to sleep. Sometimes you have to do something you don't want to do to get God's best. Learn more at choosegreatness.com. Choosegreatness.com.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Pro-life President Trump is impacting the government on many levels. Part of the mission statement of the Department of Health and Human Services says its goal has been serving and protecting Americans at every stage of life. The Trump administration added the words beginning at conception and up through natural death. Of course, pro-abortion activists were outraged, even though the statement reflects commonly known science. They want the highest levels of government to operate by flat earth science. The new wording doesn't affect abortion laws, but it does direct public policy. It's another reminder why we as Christians have an obligation to the Creator of life to elect leaders who reflect His will for the most vulnerable citizens among us, unborn babies.
Follow us on Twitter at Life Issues USA and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu.
Trick-or-treaters are about to descend on the fruited plain dressed as superheroes and cartoon characters and monsters of all sorts, and that has universities across the country in full crisis mode, gearing up to provide counseling to college students who might be triggered by an offensive Halloween costume. Some schools are posting guidelines about unacceptable costumes like Mexican sombreros and Indian headdresses or any form of blackface, warning that students could be punished for politically incorrect costumes. Notre Dame banned Disney-themed characters like Aladdin and Pocahontas. And the University of Florida announced around-the-clock counseling for anyone who might be triggered by a guy dressed like Trump's border wall. You know, the other night I was watching Food Network, the Halloween bake-off. One of the hosts, a person of color, was dressed in whiteface. I wasn't sure if I should be triggered. Trick-or-treat, America. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Authorities are still trying to figure out the motive in this case, but as you mentioned, law enforcement officials say the 28-year-old suspect Floyd Corkins walked into the Family Research Council's building yesterday morning. He was confronted by a security guard, and law enforcement officials say the alleged suspect allegedly made comments saying he was against the policies of the FRC. Now, we don't know specifically what comments the suspect made, but we do know that the FRC, as you mentioned, is a conservative Christian policy organization which has been vocal against same-sex marriage. And authorities say that's when the altercation broke out and the suspect allegedly shot the guard in the arm. And of course, police are saying that is when police responded, and the guard is being hailed as a hero for allegedly wrestling the suspect to the ground.
Security guard in this case is a hero as far as I'm concerned. He did not allow the armed person past the front, so he did his job.
And still this morning, you can see the blood spatter inside the lobby here at the FRC building, and we know that Corkins, the suspect, is being charged with assault with a deadly weapon.
Sandy Rios back with you. And of course, that was 5 years ago. We are here in the studios of Family Research Council. And when I walked in this morning, I chatted with the guards a little bit about, you know, they understand fully that they're on the front lines, even at that door. And there could have been mass murder that day. And you would think. In that report, what we finally learned that Floyd Corkins was influenced by the hate list published by the Southern Poverty Law Center. And you would think that the Southern Poverty Law Center would have rushed to apologize to remove FRC from its hate list. No, no, no. In fact, just last week, they doubled down and they said that the Family Research Council is more dangerous than the Ku Klux Klan. Well, I've asked Chris Gasek to join me in studio today. Chris is a senior fellow here at the Family Research Council. I met Chris a long time ago. He is a fabulous researcher. I remember Chris briefing me on the French abortion pill, RU486. Do you remember that, Chris?
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Many moons ago. Yeah, because the kind of thing that you do, the mind that you have, you gather all the details and then you brief some people that go out and then talk about that. And I'm glad that you are here with me because you've been following the Southern Poverty Law Center. And by the way, before I introduce our next guest by phone, let me just say that there is a website, in case we can't get to everything today, called SPLC Exposed. SPLC Exposed. You will want to see that and share that information. And so Chris is responsible for a lot of that information on that website. Also joining me is Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, no stranger to you and to me, certainly. He's a senior vice president of Family Research Council. General Boykin, it seems, what do you think? After hearing that clip, does that take you back in time and kind of remind you of the horror of that day?
Yeah, wow, does it ever. In fact, I'm not sure that I ever heard that exact clip before, and it certainly brings back some memories of the 15th of August, 2012, Sandy.
Yeah. All right, since that time, I've already said that you would think that the SPLC would have responded one way, but they have not. In fact, it's gotten more dangerous. Wouldn't you agree?
I absolutely agree, but here's what people need to understand. There is absolutely no legitimacy to SPLC's, quote, hate list. It is a method that they use to denigrate, to endanger, and to marginalize their political opponents. Those of us who are particularly Christian conservatives are listed on their hate list because of our biblical worldview, at the same time that they don't list Antifa, they don't list Black Lives Matters, they don't list organizations that call for the killing of police, but they list us because of where we stand on the issue of same-sex marriage.
Yes, in fact, Chris, let's talk about that for a second, because the themes seem to be, to me, the people that they list on their hate lists, and I'm on one of them also, is people that are for traditional marriage, people that are against Sharia, which is the radical teaching of Islam, which is very dangerous, certainly toward women, and also preaches jihad. So they target those people. And then the third category seems to be any people that really believe immigration law should be enforced and there should be borders. And I don't know if there's other categories.
Well, I mean, they have the classical, you know, what sort of is really vile about it is that you have like the Klan, Nation of Islam, and so you're lumped in with them, right? So that's one of the things that they've always done very effectively. Said, well, you know, we have David Duke and, you know, this and this and this one. Oh, and Ben Carson, right? And so,
and actually literally Ben Carson.
And literally Ben Carson. Yeah. So that's part of the way they operate. But no, look, one of the things that they have is sort of a range of right of center groups in areas that they target politically that they're interested in. But you never see anything on the left side. You know, there's no left-wing radical group. And in fact, I think the thing that's most glaring is that there are a lot of, I mean, by now we know that there are like radicalized mosques and religious organizations, you know, that are involved in all kinds of shootings and things like this by now. It's not hard to find them, but none of them are listed. You know, like, and there's no analog of Westboro Baptist Church when you could easily find something like that.
Right. So, that on its face, regardless of how you feel about the issues we itemized, ought to be a red flag. That mm-hmm. if they're really tracking hate, they certainly are leaving out a wide swath of people that allegedly hate. And so, General Boykin, there have been, it wasn't, and I have to also say, because I just assume it, but I should say it, that American Family Association is right up there on that list, as is FRC, as is Alliance Defending Freedom.
Catholic Family and Marriage Institute,
there's just all, the pro-family groups that are really right. making a difference are all on that list. But General Boykin, it wasn't just as though it weren't enough. It isn't just the Family Research Council that was attacked. There have been now more acts of violence. Could you address that part?
Well, sure. Back in June, when a shooter came out on the baseball field and shot Steve Scalise and a couple of police officers and some other people there during that baseball practice. When they dug into this guy's background, what they discovered was exactly the same pattern that Floyd Lee Corkins had, and that was that this shooter was visiting the Facebook page of the Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, it's important to remember that when the FBI interviewed Floyd Lee Corkins, the shooter in our building in 2012, Corkins admitted that he targeted us because he found us listed as a hate group on the Southern Poverty Law Center's website. So now you got another shooter who is visiting the Facebook page of Southern Poverty Law Center. And by the way, Southern Poverty Law Center had an entire page on Steve Scalise, lifting him up as being one of the haters as well. So there is a pattern here, and that is why this whole thing is so dangerous. When you list somebody, you're listed individually, as well as being listed as part of the American Family Association. And you're listed along with people like Judge Jeanine Pirro, with Laura Ingraham. You're listed along with Brigitte Gabriel and Carol Swain, of all people. Carol Swain, a woman that got married at 16 years old in the mountains of Virginia, a black woman, and got a Ph.D., and has been a professor at Vanderbilt University, and now she's listed by this great civil rights organization as a hater because she is trying to explain the whole idea of unity among the races, but also that this concept of white privilege is being abused by so many people, and they list her as a hater.
Yes, so here we are, and you're on it too, General Boykin. All right, so, anybody could say that. We have free speech in this country, so anybody could create a list like that and say whatever they want. But the further danger, is that federal agencies have folded in the SPLC's research and look to it as like the gold standard for them of what hate groups are. In fact, General, let's talk first about the Pentagon, because you were served so faithfully with our military, founder of the Delta Force. How in the world did the Pentagon start using the SPLC as their resource on who to target or who to suspect?
Yeah, well, remember, they started doing that under Barack Obama. And they have an organization called the Defense Equal Opportunity Management Institute. And they actually started using the hate list to tell their students that were going through this program that don't get involved with these organizations because these organizations are listed as hate groups. So stay away from, for example, the American Family Association. You were specifically listed. And don't get involved with them. Don't get engaged with them.
And don't give to them.
They would list these groups. And again, we were all lumped in together with the Ku Klux Klan and these skinheads and white supremacists. And that's how they started using the data from SPLC.
And along with that started this narrative that we are more at risk from homegrown terrorists, which then now that's an even broader category, which there's a hint that we're part of this, returning troops from the military, and then all these extremist groups like FRC, AFA, ADF, I guess. It would be laughable. It would be laughable if there wasn't such danger. Chris, other agencies also embraced SPLC, like the FBI,
Department. And eventually what happened was that the members of Congress, I think it was the Judiciary Committee, complained to the FBI. And about 5 years ago, they removed the links to the SPLC and ADL, American Anti-Defamation League, from the of the hate crimes. They gathered statistics on hate crimes and published them every year, and they had put them out there on as a trusted resource and removed them.
But they didn't stop using them, I understand.
Well, and they're in references and things like that. But there's been progress made, and I think one of the things is that inside the government, there's been a lot of recognition that they're no good, right? That they're not reliable, and you can't really – this is just a political operation that – they can't be used for any.
Well, some people are okay. Yes,
There are a lot of people who are sympathetic with the point of view, right?
Right, exactly. So, General Boykin, that means like media. I remember CNN, a couple of months ago, used the SPLC's hate list when the Charlottesville shooting took place. Then they were all over this SPLC's lists and reporting. Have we made any progress at all in getting media to stop using them as a resource?
Well, I don't think that the media has stopped using them. In fact, I do think that we've had some media outlets that have now figured out who SPLC is, and they're actually running ads against them. They actually have talk show hosts that are speaking out now in a very truthful and coherent way about what the SPLC really is. But that is primarily the rare conservative media outlets. I think for the most part, the other outlets are still supporting the SPLC agenda. Now, you do see a few what we would consider to be left-of-center entities that are now actually putting out op-eds and that type of thing. I think Politico had a rather scathing article on them. So some of the media is figuring it out, and some are just diehards that are going to stick with SPLC to the end.
We need to be clear, too, that the SPLC themselves have said their goal in regard to American Family Association, Family Research Council, Alliance Defending Freedom, probably Center for Security Policy and other groups, they want to destroy, this is their words, destroy these groups completely, end quote. That's their goal. That's their end game. General Boykin, this really is warfare, don't you think?
Oh, it is clearly warfare. And look, in order to be successful in the warfare, you have to know your enemy. And that is why Chris and some others at the Family Research Council and American Family Association have spent an awful lot of time understanding how Southern Poverty Law Center operates and understanding what to expect from them next. And I will tell you, I think their days are numbered. What keeps them afloat is the fact that they've been fleecing people for so long that they now have over $320 million in their coffers, much of which is in offshore accounts down in the Caribbean. But that keeps them afloat because they have so much money. And that money, in many cases, came from large corporations and large donors like George Clooney. But a lot of it also came from people that can't afford to be putting money into an organization like that. It came from the very people that they allegedly were created to support. And that's the poor people in rural America. It's the minorities that they are allegedly supposed to be supporting.
They actually send people out on the street. They call themselves a charity. I confronted them in Alexandria, Virginia, about probably a year ago, collecting money. The charity known as SPLC. It is insidious, and we're going to continue our discussion. But we're going to let General Boykin go because I think it's very, very, very early wherever he is. General Boykin, it's always a pleasure. Enjoy whatever it is that you're doing there, but be careful and come back to us soon.
Okay, God bless you.
Thank you. Same to you, sir. All right, Sandy Rios back with Chris Kasich here at Family Research Council. When we return, Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.
Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. On the heels of incumbent Tennessee Senator Bob Corker's announcement that he won't seek re-election, incumbent Republican Arizona Senator Jeff Flake has announced that he will not seek re-election either. In spite of his incumbent status and a huge funding advantage, conservative state legislator Dr. Kelly Ward dominated Jeff Flake in the polls. Some recent polls showed Dr. Ward had a 20-point lead. The writing was clearly on the wall, so Senator Flake said, no mas. Who's next?
Listen to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Central on AFR. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Hello, everyone. Do you need help dealing with the everyday tasks of raising a family? I'm James Dobson here, and if you do, I hope you'll tune in to our next edition of Family Talk. Our main purpose in this ministry is to put tools into your hands that will strengthen your marriage and help you raise your kids. Hope to see you right here next time for another edition of Family Talk.
Weekday mornings at 6:30 and evenings at 9:30 on American Family Radio.
Exploring the Word is all about Jesus, because Jesus is on every page of the Bible, but sometimes people don't see him.
Bert Harper of Exploring the Word.
So we're taking a microscope and finding Jesus in each book of the Bible. He's there. And Alex and myself on Exploring the Word, we're going to try to bring that out, and it will be a blessing.
Join Bert and Alex each weekday at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
Did you know your herds or fields or even your tractor could be used to support the cause of Christ for generations to come? As a farmer or rancher, you know the value of cultivating your resources. Crops are sown, harvests are stored or sold depending on the best price. Sometimes it makes sense to feed your crop to your own animals. It takes heart and shrewd management to keep your operation going. If your heart is for the Lord, consider designating your assets in a way that makes sense for your family while at the same time supporting the American Family Association. A representative of the AFA Foundation can show you how to bless AFA long after your own needs have been met. Contact the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345, or email foundation@afa.net. Learn how to make the most of your resources and leave a legacy to continue the work of the American Family Association.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. For far too long, Christians in the Middle East and elsewhere have been subjected to repression, expulsion, and genocide by merciless Sharia supremacists. These victims are the proverbial canaries in the coal mine, serving as a warning of what the jihadists have in mind for all of us, if they can achieve through violence or other means our submission. Last night, Vice President Mike Pence addressed an ecumenical gathering in Washington, convened in defense of such Christians. He announced a much-needed course correction from what was, at best, the Obama administration's seeming indifference to the plight of the persecuted church. At worst, its enabling of the persecutors. He promised to stop sending U.S. aid via the United Nations and to the communities under assault. In this way, the aid may actually reach and help its intended recipients. We expect and must demand no less. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
In March 2017, Charles Murray was trying to discuss his acclaimed book, Coming Apart, at Middlebury College, when he was violently attacked by protesters inflamed by the SPLC's labeling of him as a racist. A professor escorting Murray ended up in the hospital. In 2012, a gunman attempted mass murder at the Family Research Council and failed only because the first man he shot managed to disarm him. The attacker told the police he acted because the SPLC had listed the Family Research Council as a hate group. It's a vicious irony. While promoting itself as a monitor of hate groups, the SPLC has in practice become a fomentor of hate. Yet the group rolls on, bigger than ever. What keeps them going? For one thing, the establishment media constantly quote them. Scare stories about right-wing stormtroopers are a sure way to attract eyeballs and fit nicely with the media's own preconceptions of the dangerous reactionaries lurking out there in middle America. Second, alarmism is a great fundraising technique. Convincing people there are fascists everywhere has turned the SPLC into a cash machine. Last year, the group hustled $50 million out of frightened liberal donors, adding to the $368 million of assets they were already sitting on. So, the next time you see the Southern Poverty Law Center quoted in the news, just remember, the masterminds behind the SPLC aren't eliminating hate, they are fueling it.
All right, that was a video, the end of a video by PragerU that really does a fabulous job in about 4 minutes of laying out pretty much what we're talking about here. Sandy Rios back with you. And ironically, Prager is now suing the SPLC because they have a they have sort of affiliation with Google, right?
They're suing Google.
Oh, Google. All right.
Right.
Because
they've sort of their videos, in a sense, have been put into this sort of conservative ghetto of, you know, it's sort of harder to find them, harder to access them, they're just basically saying, look. You don't have a right to sort of put us over here. You have some obligations as well, and even though you're a private company. And I think you're going to see more of this because we've seen a lot of these efforts of the Silicon Valley companies to either, you know, kick these social conservative groups. I mean, basically the groups that are on the SPLC's hate list, right? Like Alliance Defending Freedom, Family Research Council,
American Family Association.
American Family Association. I mean, they're about 25 sort of social conservative groups, I guess, and sort of disenfranchise them in various ways. And
yeah, in various very dangerous ways. Let me just say that there is the implications of this, Chris, are all about.
And Prager is not on any of those lists, by the way.
Well, probably
they're just
will
being
be now.
Censored.
Well, okay, but the whole idea, the ultimate goal is not only to destroy these groups, but also to totally eliminate the ability to speak freely.
Right.
This is an attack on free speech,
well,
and
no,
SPLC is doing their work.
Right. That's
their
the ultimate
part.
Point of this is to.
But people don't connect that, and
right.
We have to.
Right. I mean, no. The ultimate goal here is to. Dominate political debate, right? To make it impossible
to shut up your opposition,
right? I mean, to make their point of view illegitimate, so that they cannot enter the field of public debate and voice opposition to the various whatever the sort of social radicalism is that the left is pushing.
Yeah, and it's working, I have to say. And I'm going to mention, and this is me talking, not Chris, but. That's why a few weeks ago when a letter went out from pastors, Southern Baptist pastors, to President Trump asking him, demanding really that he distance himself from what's called the alt-right, I shuddered and cringed because this is all part, even if these pastors have no idea, this is all part of the attempt to broadly smear. Use the new terms. Alt-right is a construct that came out of the 2016 election. And it's a word that I think these pastors are using to substitute for racist, white supremacists. They're accusing the president of having three alt-right people in the White House, which is ludicrous. But because of the wounds, the racial wounds, the tender hearts left after all of the real racism of the 50s, 60s, and 30s, then there's no clarity and there's a misleading. And so now we have our pastors jumping on board, sort of using the same language and the SPLC, believe me, is in the background clapping at their great victory because now they're pulling the language. Language is very important when you're fighting these kinds of battles. The Marxists know that. George Orwell knew that. He explained it. Language is very important. And so when you call groups haters, it is ludicrous, but it works. It's a stamp. It's a label.
Oh, sure.
That categorizes and marginalizes people. And Chris, it's actually made its way to a Congress. Congress after Charlottesville passed this resolution in both houses unanimously.
And Trump signed it.
Using...
So it's actually, but it has the force of law. So it's public law 11558.
Yeah, exactly. And using the language of the left, talking, you know, condemning racists and bigots. Well, who of us doesn't want to condemn racists and bigots? The problem is in definition. It's the broad sweeping
brush. Well, it slips in words, the term hate group.
Yes.
Right, and extremists, which don't have any meaning in any sort of... In other words, you have all these sorts of terms like racist and, you know, these sorts of things, right? Or white supremacist or Nazi, which are clear. But then you sort of slip in hate group. Well, who has the largest definition of hate group, you know, the most widely used? Well, how convenient that the Democrats drafted this thing and put it out there. And the Republicans greased the skids on this. This thing went through and was signed in about a week.
Yeah, because they're trying
to... No debate anywhere.
Because, like the pastors, they're trying to draw a line in what they think is a line in the sand. Oh, we deplore, you know, racism. Well, yes, we all do. But trust me... the powers that be who are behind the scenes pulling the strings they're laying the groundwork for something far more insidious.
The real danger here, ultimately, in a large way, is that now you have a public law. This is a statute. Now, it was signed by both houses, passed by both houses of Congress.
Signed by the president.
Right. Okay. So, it doesn't have criminal penalties or things like that, but that doesn't matter. And it has has various terms in it. So now the agencies can go and say, well, here's a law. Well, we're supposed to, you know, do the following like three or four things, but it also has these terms like hate group. So now we can define hate group.
And here's the list.
Right.
Gosh, SPLC has one.
Exactly. So, this was a terrible blunder on the part
absolutely.
Of the leadership of the House of the Senate.
Chris, let me just read the name.
And
of
the White House.
Let me read the name of these resolutions. The National Opposition to Hate, Assault, and Threats to Equality. Okay, now, you and I could spend a long time extrapolating what the writers of that, we're trying to find out, actually, some of us, who actually wrote these resolutions. It wasn't, who wrote the language on this? Here's one, the Disarm Hate Act. Now, that sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? Wouldn't we want to disarm hate? But, of course, the point is the way hate is interpreted. And, again, the FRC is on the hate list. AFA is on the hate list. Prager isn't, but they probably soon will be. I'm on the hate list. Jerry Boykin's on the hate list. How do you define
Muslim Brotherhood is not on the
Muslim
hate list.
Brotherhood and Antifa. Antifa and their masks and their weaponry are not on the hate list. So
people who want to attack police, things like that.
Okay, I think we've made that point. Now, I want to, before we run out of time, you have some interesting information.
Well, right. So going back to the Scalise shooting, one of the things that you and I have talked about just sort of, personally is that, within a week or 10 days, the local field office of the FBI, your husband was a former FBI agent, and so he was...
Who's cringing
right,
at every headline aghast, right now.
But he was aghast. So there was a press conference, and the agent in charge gave a statement. And they just said, all we're going to look at in this Scalise shooting is assault on a federal officer, right? You know, that was basically just seemed... Everyone watching this was pretty shocked, and the way that they approached the evidence was shocking, especially when you looked at sort of the federal definitions. Well, the state of Virginia, this happened in Virginia on a baseball diamond in Alexandria. So police in Virginia were responsible for the shooting of this guy, in addition to the Capitol Hill police. So the Commonwealth's attorney for Alexandria had to look into this, and he issued a report within the last month. But I'll just read just the one paragraph of it, and it says I don't know anything about his name is Brian L. Porter. I don't know anything about his politics or anything like that. But he says the evidence in this case establishes beyond a reasonable doubt that the suspect, fueled by rage against Republican legislators, decided to commit an act of terrorism as that is defined by the Code of Virginia Code Section 18.46.4. The suspect, using a lawfully purchased assault rifle and handgun, ambushed a peaceful assembly of people practicing baseball and began to fire indiscriminately in an effort to kill and maim as many people as possible. And he knew that they were, political actors. And so when you go and you look at the Patriot Act, that same statute, the Virginia statute is kind of tracks that they're kind of similar. So there, you look at that and you can't imagine any reason why Hodgkinson wouldn't have been also guilty of terrorism under the federal statute, which has a, which focuses on things like assassination, right? So we've been wondering, and I don't understand why. I mean, I think the House really has to sort of get involved here and get the FBI up there and ask them what is going on in this investigation, because as we can see with all these other things going on at the FBI,
something's wrong. There's a rottenness. You know, Chris, I've played several times on this show. I wish we had time now. The FBI briefing right in Alexandria, the FBI, the lead agent, talking about we don't see any motive, and even though there were pictures of the field and the suspects or the dead man now, the shooter's camera, we don't have any reason to believe that was a surveillance. Motive. He might have had some marriage difficulties. It was just
Having some problems.
Yeah, don't have any. And we all knew that the shooter had asked other Republicans leaving the field,
right,
who's there on the field? Is it Republicans
or Democrats? Right.
But the FBI agent, we're just not sure. We don't know of any motive. It was stunning, Chris, and he had kind of a smile on his face. It was so disturbing to me at the time. So now you're saying that the Virginia police are coming up with a different analysis,
right,
of what happened.
Right. I mean, this is the official report of the Virginia Commonwealth Attorney for Alexandria, and looking at our statute, said it was a justified shooting, that this was an act of terrorism, and officials in our state had the right to stop it.
All right, we just have a minute or so left, really. But I want to say SPLC Exposed, will have all of this information.
.com.
And so, Chris, one last thing. This is not fair, but the other thing that's very important is that financial entities now are cooperating and working with SPLC and others to withdraw the ability of conservative groups to use online pay services. We've had this happen with the Ruth Institute. Just say that. Fill in the blanks for me, please.
Well, right. I mean, you have these financial processing institutions that do the checks and credit cards and things like this. And so they've been on their own, and also they've been mau-mau'd by the SPLC and other groups to stop processing the transactions for these organizations. Fortunately, like the Ruth Institute, I think, has been able to find an alternative. But, I mean, this is...
But that's not the point.
But it's total war, like you were saying to Jerry Borf.
If we get to the point? We can't go online. Google, censors all of our information, including SPLC.com.
And searches about you, right?
And searches about you, declares you a hate person, makes it impossible for you to use online pay services. I don't think it's hard for people to put together that this is serious. And that's why FRC and AFA and other organizations are doing what we can to fight back. In fact,
ADF, Liberty Council, or Liberty Institute, fighting all this stuff very hard.
And there are some lawsuits. Kennedy. James Kennedy. Coral Ridge Ministries is suing the SPLC because of the smear they've done on them. There are others. There's a Muslim gentleman who's been listed as a hate person. He's suing the SPLC.
Right.
And I think there's a third one. But of course,
Nawaz. Yeah. I mean, he's a liberal. He's a lefty. So,
but as is Ayan Ali Hirsi, who
is a
former Muslim woman who has really laid her life
She's
down,
heroic.
Been under danger, had to live.
Watch the Prager University video. You'll get a 4-minute instruction and some great stuff.
And that will be at SPLC Exposed.
Yeah, you get a link there, and also Prager University.
How about this report from Virginia on the Scalise
shooting? It's online.
But maybe you can link it on that.
Oh yeah,
SPLC.
Okay.
That would be a good thing.
That's
idea. Yeah. I'm so glad I could help. Chris Gasek with the Family Research Council. Thank you so much, Chris. And thank you to the staff at Family Research Council, who is so gracious to me when I come and do the show here. I appreciate all of your work and your help. And, of course, the work of FRC and Tony Perkins is just a benefit and a privilege for all of us. And we're in this battle together, and we're going to just keep fighting. And we appreciate your help and your prayers, and it's about you too. Sadie, oh, by the way, tonight, Goochland High School at 7 o'clock. That's where I'll be.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.